How many of you got the God of peace in them? Amen. He's Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He lives in us. Sanctify your holy. I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is coming back sometime. And the Bible says here that he is a God of peace. And no use living under anxiety because God's the God of peace. He lives in us. The Bible says in this text of verse here, Paul talking to the Thessalonians, you know, they were concerned about many, many things. And one thing they were concerned about, the coming of the Lord. They said that the Lord already came and he's gone, left us behind. But Paul had to write some letters to them because he had disturbances in their mind. And many people this day have disturbances of what's going on in the world. And thank God for the scriptures. And I want to point out to you, there's many things in this verse of scripture that are very significant to us as Christian believers, believers in Jesus. But what I want to take out of this verse of scripture is this. It says that you are three parts in nature. First of all, you're a spirit being. If you physically died, your body will either go to heaven or hell. That's two places the Bible told us. It doesn't talk about anything in between. I know nobody doesn't like to talk about that, but that's what the Bible teaches. And we need to be fearless about our belief system. And we can't sugarcoat different things, but the Bible does say that we're a spirit being. We have a soul. Your soul is not your spirit. Your soul is what you, communicate out of in terms of your emotions, your imaginations, your thought life. That's what your soul is, and you have to do something about that. And when you get born again, you have to renew your mind, renew your thinking, renew your devotions and affections in life. And then it talks about your body in this verse of scripture. Your body, your physical body, what we call our flesh, our body. Our body has certain things that it wants to do, like eat pizza at 12 o'clock midnight. But you have to discipline it. And sometimes we win, sometimes we lose. And I'm winning lately. Now tonight's coming. So we're a spirit being. Everybody say this, it'll help your faith. This will help your faith. I learned this from Brother Hagin. He said, if you don't know this, it's going to be very hard for you to walk by faith, not by sight. Number one, say, I am a spiritual being. Everybody in here is a spiritual person. No, you don't have to say that. But everyone here is a spiritual person. But let me tell you something. Even in the world, the people who are not born again, they're spiritual beings as well. And Jesus said, we have a different father. When there was a severed relationship from Adam, man was cut off, was estranged from God because of sin. He was separated from God. And man had communion with God in the garden. And he sinned and he was severed. He had a separation from God. And that's why Jesus came to bring us back to God. He restored our relationship. And that's why Jesus is called the second Adam. He lived and died and lived a perfect life. So that we can, he identified with us on the cross. He identified with us when he rose from the dead. When Jesus rose from the dead, had victory over the devil, we rose from the dead with him. And had victory over the devil. His victory is our victory. That's why when we fight against the devil, we're not fighting the devil himself. We're fighting by faith. And we're fighting with the idea that we have victory in Jesus. And everything Jesus wrought and defeated the devil, he gave to us as our victory. Amen? That's the end of the sermon today, folks. Well, that's a good sermon there. So, Thank God. Holy Ghost is here. Amen. We are spiritual beings. We have the nature of God. Amen. Secondly, everybody say this, this is an interruption by the Spirit. Number two, we possess a soul. Everybody say, I have a soul. Now, you don't just say, I have a spirit. No, you are a spirit. You are a spirit being. No, you have a soul. And also, you have a body. You live in a body. Everybody say, I live in a body. That body belongs to you. When Jesus died and rose again, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. You and I are sitting at the right hand of the Father with Jesus by faith and positionally. We are there with him right now. We're not trying to pray through. We are through. We're with Jesus. And so, I don't know if you understand this, but some of you might have to catch up on some knowledge on this stuff. But we're spiritual people. And we live in a world that's tainted. And we live in a world that's a fallen world. And that's why people get sick. Not necessarily the devil attacks him. Necessarily he's behind all that. But there are things in the world that are tainted and people get sick. It's not a perfect world and good people get sick. It's not necessarily the devil attacked them, but the devil's behind it. Yeah, that's right. Speaking in tongues over here. Amen. He's my helper today, taking over from the other ladies over here. We're missing Miss Grace today, and this is Miss Grace. Didn't she look different today? You know Miss Grace, right? Yeah. She's a really good woman, praying in the Spirit all the time. So I want you to get out of the Scripture that we're three parts. We're spiritual beings. We are a spirit. We possess a soul, and we live in a body. That's why Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and two talks about that we offer our bodies a living sacrifice and we renew our mind. It tells us you, and that the word you in that first, Romans 12, the you he's talking about is your spirit. You see the three-part nature in Romans chapter 12, 1 as well. And he says you, as you're a spiritual person, need to do something about your mind and need to do something about your body. A lot of people are waiting for God to heal their mind or do something with their mind when God's already told you what to do. He's not going to do any more with your soul than what you have been able to do with your soul. You have to take your soul and do something about it and put the Word of God in your spirit and begin to change your mind about who you are and what you have and what you can do. You don't wait for God. God's not going to come around. A lot of people are waiting for God to heal them, but God's already healed them in Christ. They're going to have to learn to take by faith what God has given them. Just like the Israelites had to take by faith the land and go there and fight against the enemy. Hallelujah. There's so much here today that we have to talk about, but that's what one scripture I want to give you, 1 Thessalonians, that we're three-part. We're spiritual beings. You need to remember that we're spiritual beings. Second scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and the Corinthian church had a lot of stuff going on in their church. Lots of stuff that we encounter today in the flesh, people fighting against each other, division, jealousy, all this kind of stuff happening in the church. But they had, one thing they had was manifestation of the Spirit. God was working among them. There was great demonstration of God's power among them. And one thing I noticed about this Corinthian church, they prayed in tongues a lot, a whole lot. And if we don't get into the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, we're not going to get a whole lot. And if you're just living life normally, and this is the top of your spirituality is coming to church Sunday morning, you got a rude awakening. There's got to be a reading of the Bible outside of this church more than ever, and praying in the Spirit regularly on a regular basis. Paul said, "I pray in tongues more than you all." He's talking to the Corinthian church, and they were praying in the Spirit a whole lot. Because you couldn't even get them to stop speaking in tongues. He had to tell them. And they were prophesying. And so here in this verse of Scripture, he said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration." Everybody said demonstration. That's when Brother Hagin used to say, demonstration means a show. When you're demonstrating, you're showing something. Now, when God demonstrates his power, he's showing you something. He's showing us that he's among us, that he's working among us. And that's why God worked through Paul to show the people that he was working through Paul and among them. I remember when I first came into the church as a pastor, the Lord had to work through me in a tremendous way to get the people's attention that God was working through me. And I thank God for that. But he's going to do even more, he said, in the last day in my life. And we're getting ready for it. There's another anointing coming on this church and on myself and amongst the people. A tremendous anointing coming. And so we're going to have to be ready for it. Now, he says, in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Those two things he mentioned there, the demonstrations were in. Number one, in spirit. Number two, in power. And I'll explain that later. He said that there was a demonstration of spirit in the spirit and in power. And he says, notice this, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God wants us, when he demonstrates his power, he wants us to get our eyes off what's going on and onto God. He wants us to look to him, that he is God Almighty, that he is the ever-present God. He's a God that's always here. And you know, one thing I heard a lot of things growing up as a young Christian. And a lot of things make more sense to me than ever before because, you know, you get older and you understand more. You know, you can understand more when you're 10 years old. I mean, you look at Pastor Ken there. He's an old man. Not that I got anything against him. I'm younger than him. I mean, he's younger than me. Pastor Ken's son over here, Joe. Little Joe. We call him Baby Joe in our house. He's always a Baby Joe. He's a bum for candies all the time, but he doesn't come in my office lately. So anyway, now they're ages apart. You know, Pastor Ken started acting like him. You would say, "What's wrong with Pastor Ken?" Walks off and does different things. Well, he does sometime, but not like that. But he's different in spirit. Now, if I talk to Joe about the 1 Corinthians, he wouldn't know what I'm talking about. But Pastor Ken would understand because he studied it and he knows the Spirit and so on. But people grow in levels and they grow and they can appreciate the Word of God. You know, when I went to Rhema, there was a lot of young students there. We had over 2,200 people, 2,200 students when we were there, when Brother Hagin was alive. And the Lord told me to go to see Brother Hagin, sit under him, that, otherwise, I wouldn't have gone. He told me I wouldn't go if Brother Hagin passed away, because 3 years later, Brother Hagin passed away after I graduated. And so we went there and sat under Brother Hagin. He said, "The same Spirit I put on Brother Hagin, I'm going to put on you. Same Holy Ghost, same anointing." We're a Rhema family. We're a Word of Faith people. We're distinct or different from a lot of folks. We're not the same as other churches. We're the same family. But we have a different emphasis. People understand that. They know that if you come to this church, you understand we have a certain way about us and certain mentality and thinking. We don't wait for the Holy Ghost. And this is what I wanted to say. I said all that to say this. When I was young, I didn't understand different things, but now I understand more than ever. You know, they say, well, the Holy Ghost is not moving in certain churches. Well, the reason why the Holy Ghost is not moving is that people are not moving. Not acting on the word, not acting like it's true. They're waiting for some kind of feeling to get on them. They start worshiping. You have to worship by faith. Act like you're having the best time of your life coming in here. Acting like the Holy Ghost is going to touch you any moment, then you start acting like it's so. And then it begins to happen on you. You have to step out, and the Holy Spirit will get on you. I read something yesterday. Wigglesworth says the Holy Spirit will jump over a million preachers just to get to you when you're excited about the Word of God. Amen. And so, we get excited about the things of God. We have to act on the Word. Some of us are a little bit more live-wired than other people. Praise God. Amen. You ever notice that? Some people get really full easily, more and more than other people. They're hungry. They need it. We should have it. I remember there's some churches, services, I couldn't even stand it. Just want to get up and start running around and yelling. Amen? Hallelujah. And there's going to be more, a demonstration of spirit in this place. Hallelujah. Now, I was going to say this. Someone asked Brother Wigglesworth, and adopted by Brother Hagin, what are you going to do when the Holy Ghost is not moving? What if the Holy Spirit is not moving in the service? He said, that's easy enough. I move the Holy Ghost. I move the Spirit. And the only way you can move the Spirit is you start acting on the Word, because He'll come and confirm that Word. You start acting like He's here. Amen. That he's in us. He's with us. He's in us right now. Praise God. Amen. Holy Ghost power is in us. Hallelujah. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. Glory to God. So the church needs a demonstration of God's power in these days, in these last days. He needs a demonstration. You know, we can get on television, we can teach nice, succinct messages and intellectual appeal to the mind and all that, but there's a time and a place when the Spirit of God has to move, when people are, they actually not only hear the Word, they actually feel the words of the Spirit. Amen. The Lord, the Holy Ghost will speak such a strong way. I've had people, I can feel people's words in me. Because the power of God would come. Just like, you know, when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and she greeted Elizabeth, Mary greeted Elizabeth. He says, I don't know what she said, something. But when she said something, the power of God hit them. And they were filled with the Spirit. I've been that way in my life. I always say hello to people, they get full of the Holy Ghost. An invisible force was there. They started feeling, some people fall under the power. Just couldn't get it, almost, you know, come to their house and just under the power of God. I didn't know the power of God was on me. Now I understand what happened. Back then I didn't understand it. I'm understanding some things I never knew before. It took me a while to understand these things about spiritual power and the power of God and how He wants to demonstrate Himself. So we need the church to wake up, and we need God's demonstration more than ever. We need to see the supernatural power of God help people in these last days. Some people will not be, I remember Brother Hagin used to say this, some people will never get healed unless there's a praying in the Spirit. Some people never come to Jesus unless there's people that are praying in the Holy Spirit. And we need to pray like that, to get a hold of, the situation on hand. So we take for granted in the church that everybody is spiritually hungry. We take for granted that every pastor and every minister is hungry for God, and every church is hungry for God. Not all pastors have the same hunger. They should, but not every one of them are. Not all churches have the same hunger. Some of them are actually what they say, spiritually dead. And I'm not trying to, put anybody down. I'm just saying that's what it is. Some churches are spiritually dead. You'll never see a miracle there. No one ever gets filled with the power of God. No one ever falls in the power of God. There's no spirit-filled preaching in there. Some of them are like that. Some of them have even, charismatic or full gospel on there. But there's a whole lot of soulless things going on rather than spiritual things. Especially people are crying doesn't mean the power of God's on them. Some of them are just feeling sorry for themselves or emotional. When the Holy Ghost gets on you, that joy is something else. Amen? Now, I don't know if I'm speaking your language today, but I'm going to talk to you, because some of you might not understand me, but I'm going to talk anyway, because we need to understand. My pastor told us over the weekend, over this last week, to preach like this, right? And he said, we're losing. And now Brother Hagin, before he left, he says, there's a whole generation. And I read that in Psalm 78 by Pastor Hagin was preaching a message this week, and I was reading Psalm 78 before I heard him, and he just headed right on. He says, some generations will forget God and the move of God if we don't have the demonstration of power among us. Our children need to experience the real power of God among us, even this young. And they will come back to it. Even if you left it, they'll always come back to it because you know God's real. And it's not everybody is that hungry. Otherwise, the Bible would tell us that He would reveal to us that everybody is hungry at the same time. No, they're not. Not everybody's hungry. So I wanna get you to get hungry this morning a little bit. Amen. So, you know, I know. Notice Ernie's not here. I don't know if the Kentucky Fried moved out of town or not, but if he's watching online, God bless you, Ernie. We love you. But you see, Ernie talks about, he talks a lot about fried chicken. And the more he talks about it, the more he eats it. I was told by Brother Hagin, the more you talk about something, the more you want it. We need to talk about the things of the Spirit, and the more we talk about that and hear stories on it, the more hungry we'll get of the things of God. In Acts chapter 5, verse 12, the Bible says that God works through the hands of the apostles. You know, and over here in the 1 Corinthians 4, we read 2, 4, and 5 that God demonstrated His by the Spirit and power. You see, when He talks about the Spirit and power, He's talking about the gifts of the Spirit and manifestation. When He said, I spoke to you in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He's talking there about the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 7 to 11. That's what He's talking about. He said, I came to you that He prayed enough in the Spirit. When you pray enough in the Spirit, you'll operate in the gifts of the Spirit if God so desires. And God sent him there. God wanted him to move in the thing. So He had to use the gifts to prove to them. He wouldn't have done it otherwise, than any other way. So he spoke in the Spirit. That meant He read a lot of people's hearts. He read a lot of mail. He had discerning of spirit. He knew what the people need. He knew He preached a timely message with people what they need to hear at the same time. And people were there like, oh, how did He know that? Well, He was speaking in the Spirit. He demonstrated by the Spirit. How did He know that? The gifts of the Spirit in operation. I've had that happen to me where people have known different things. I said, how did they know that? It's because of the Spirit. This is not, you know, witchcraft. This is the gifts of the Spirit in operation. Then He said demonstration of power. That's miracles. Faith, you wonder how people can have such faith. It's because sometimes God will move on you just by faith, and then you could do certain things under the power. I've had different things happen to me in the power. I was afraid after what I did. Because I've had people to bend over, they had rods in their back, they couldn't even move, and they were stiff, and the power of God came upon me, grabbed them and said, move over. And otherwise, in the natural, they would have been injured, and I would have been in jail. But that's a demonstration of power. I just, you know, point at people, be filled, and whole rows of 25 people, 30 people fall into the power of God. That's a demonstration of God's power. So God wants to demonstrate His power. And it's not just why one person, it's because one person wants it. Like, I could be wanting to demonstrate God's power, but you got, y'all have a place to go at 12:30, and you're just thinking about that all through the service, and you're not in tune. You know, that's going to happen, because then God doesn't do anything, because their people's hearts are not with you. That can happen. So we need to understand that in these days, things are going to happen. And we need things happen in this world, because you're going to need a demonstration of power, because there's going to be other things that's going to happen in this world that you're going to need the power of God in manifestation. We are in the last days. Things are going to happen. People are, like we see right now, this is the second, they say after this one, there's going to be another one. What's happening? we're gonna just believe God, I guess, right? God wants to demonstrate in His Spirit. So we're spiritual beings as much as we are natural people. We're more than the mind. We're more than physical bodies. We're spiritual people. We all have a thirst for the spiritual. We all have a hunger for the spiritual. We're hungry for miracles. How many people would like to see a miracle? I'd love to see a miracle. I want to see people raised up. Brother Hagin said he had people. He started preaching, ringing the dinner bell. And Raymond T. Ritchie says, healing is a dinner bell for the people. And if you start ringing the dinner bell and people start getting healed, he says, people start coming in droves. That's why they came to Jesus. Because he had the power of God on him. And there was demonstrations of his power. He said he began to do this, have meetings. And he said he had meetings one time for 6 months and nothing happened. Nothing happened. He had extended meetings. And no one would be there. Just a few trickle of people. Not even 100 people in that church. But when he started having people, insane people that come, they were brought to the meeting, and they rose out of that insanity and came to themselves, and they were healed. And many people who were paralyzed started getting healed. And then there was people coming from everywhere. They want to see what's going on. Even just people, onlookers, want to come and see. And so we're going to have a time. There is people, there's going to be a move of God. We need to get ready for it and be part of that move. I was told, we're told that we're going to be part of the last move of a revival. That's what we're told. Hallelujah. But, as I said before, we have a spiritual hunger. And some people don't know it at times. They're hungry for something, but they're doing other things to try to get that thirst. They're trying to get into different things, maybe money or just other ventures in life and projects that they want to be fulfill themselves. But, that's fine. But you could never fulfill that hunger by natural things. God wants to do something in us. We were not connected to God because of the fall, but Jesus came and reconnected us to our Father. So we need to develop a relationship with God through our hearts and our spirit, become more attuned and more aware of God the Father and His Spirit and what He wants to do in these last days. Paul said that we need to communicate with God regularly, all of us. Over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2, he said, For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no one understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. One of the things I understood that when you step out from in your natural flesh and you begin to by faith pray in the Spirit, pray in the tongues, you are going into the Spirit. You're in the Spirit, and if you do that for an extended period of time, here's what Brother Hagin said. He said, "I've never had a significant change in my life unless I prayed in tongues for some significant time. Every major thing that happened in my ministry, in my life, came because I was praying in the Holy Ghost." Are you guys still here? Yeah. So praying in tongues, I could use some help once in a while. So we need to understand that praying in tongues, howbeit in the Spirit, when you pray in tongues, you're in the Spirit. Howbeit in the Spirit, you speak mysteries. The word mysteries is divine truth, hidden truth, not obvious to the senses. That's the interpretation in that verse of Scripture. It's praying in the Holy Spirit that brings the power of God down. Praying in tongues is a supernatural utterance. Praying in tongues is a supernatural utterance. Your flesh doesn't want to do it, but you need to discipline your flesh to say, no, you're going to pray in tongues here for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes. And then all of a sudden, the more you do it, the more you're praying in the Spirit. So I want you all, in fact, I'm going to command you to start praying in tongues regularly. Whenever you think about it, if it happens, don't put it as a law. Just pray, even if it's a couple of minutes at a time. Hallelujah. Are you guys doing okay? Okay, so I'm not mad at anybody, because some of you look like you're mad at me. So I want to tell you that I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just being very, dramatic in some way, because I want the message to come across. So I love you. I want you to be here, and you could smile once in a while. If I look at you, or you think I'm looking at you, just smile a little bit, okay? Be friendly to me, because I'm not your enemy. Okay. So Acts 2:4 says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That's a supernatural experience. So I heard this young lady back here, you got filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't you? Let me wave your hand. Filled with the Holy Ghost. She was asking. Give her a hand. Amen. You know, she came to me how many weeks ago? I don't know, several weeks ago, months ago. She said, Pastor, I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm very concerned about it. Obviously, you know, really, you know, just come to the pastor, try to get a hold of the pastor after service. I'm, you know, just feel left out. All my friends speaking in tongues, everybody else, I'm looking at them. You know? So she said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, okay, just give her some books here, read all this stuff, you know. Just, you don't have to, that's why you have books, so you don't have to spend time counseling. You give them the book and say, read that, come back, you know. Some guys have done that with healing. I go back there, I said, read these little booklet, you know, 10 pages long, little book. I'll come back tomorrow, read that, and you'll be ready for prayer. They're not going to die tonight, so here you go. So I go back there next day. Did you read that? Oh, no, I got no time. You got all the time. They're in the bed 24 hours a day. I said, okay, I'll be back tomorrow. I'll come back again tomorrow. I said, did you read that book? Oh, no, I'm just too busy. I said, you want healing? You don't spend any time. I gave you something, instruction to do so that I can pray with you. So I slapped that person. No, I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. No, it didn't happen. No, you just feel like you want to slap that person and say, what's wrong with you? And you know what happened? They only had so much time to live. He didn't really know that. I didn't really know that either. Seriously ill. You say, what happened to him? Well, he died. I was trying to help him. That he didn't have to die. He could have lived. And there's other people that we helped and they didn't die because they was able to receive. And so you have to understand, if you're hungry, you're going to do what you're supposed to be doing. So these guys in Acts 2:4, they were hungry for the Spirit. You know, they're sitting there. The Bible says tongues of fire came upon them. They start speaking in tongues. Speaking the Holy Ghost. Little children like this can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Those guys can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know? Hallelujah. We used to pray as a family together in the Holy Ghost, all of us, just in our room, kids going to bed at night, and we'd pray in the Holy Ghost by faith. They'd pray. I mean, Hannah would be so drunk, we'd have to carry her to the bed. She couldn't walk, couldn't talk because they're full of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost came down. Amen. Kids started encountering the Spirit. But I want to say, you know, Daphne there, she was hungry and she got filled with the Spirit. She just like, this. I'm hungry. Gave her that book and she told us, I just thank God for it. I saw the interaction you guys had in the group. She joined the prayer group and she wasn't speaking in tongues, but she spoke in tongues. Yeah. Amen. I mean, you hang around where other people are in fire and something's going to happen to you. If you hang around people that are out there that are not for God, you're going to start acting like them. That spirit on them of the world will fall on you. So if somebody hungry for God, you'll start getting hungry because they're hungry. Hallelujah. I'm hungry. we stay connected by God by praying in the Spirit. Paul said he prayed in tongues more than all the Corinthians. He says, 1 Corinthians 14:18, he says, I thank God, I speak in tongues more than you all. And the Corinthians prayed in tongues a whole lot. And Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. I want to tell you something significant, a revelation that Paul prayed in tongues more than all the people put together in Corinth, and they were praying a lot in the Spirit. That's a lot. Paul prayed in tongues, spent hours ministering in the Holy Ghost. And he demonstrated the power of God. I learned this from watching Benny Hinn, following him over the years, and Brother Hagin. He said, it's praying in tongues. That's where the power comes from. You can't go and preach a message and have a significant impact in your ministry unless you pray in tongues regularly, not just before a service, but every day, during the day, all day long, stay connected with God. Some people say, you ever get through to God? No, we never. We always stay in. You know, because they were asking Brother Hagin, how do you pray through? You know, there's a term that in the Holy Ghost circle, some people always talk about getting through to God. Well, we're already in. We're in the Spirit. And when you pray in tongues, you're already in. That's how you get a hold of your spirit. You stay in. You pray in the Holy Ghost. I never get out of fellowship with God. That's why it's hard to sin if you're praying in tongues. Although you can't be smoking and drinking and swearing and praying, drinking and smoking at the same time. You can't be cursing people on Facebook and saying, Shabakalaba Shotabalita. I want to, you can't do that. It's impossible to go and start sinning and Shababahalaba. Eh? It's you can't steal and say, I'm going to steal this. Shamagamaha. Uh-huh. So it's better if you stay in the Spirit, right? Can't criticize because you pray in tongues too much. Paul prayed in tongues so much, he had a free trip to heaven. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 to 4, he said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell. When you're in the Spirit, if you physically died, you wouldn't even know that you're out of your body. You won't know. You couldn't tell a difference. I've had people who that I know personally that have died. They said they were dead, saw their body. They couldn't tell whether they're dead or not. And if God didn't show them their body, they wouldn't have never known. I talked to a girl who was walking across Memorial Avenue. She got hit by her mom and dad were walking across the highway. She dropped dead. The car hit over, ran over her. And she said, my spirit went up, and I looked at my body. But she came back to her body and lived. My own mother said she died, went up to heaven, saw the glory and the singing and everything. She came back to her body. And I've heard while I was working in healing school at Graham Bible Training Center, we saw different ones that physically died, and they came back into their bodies. He said, I didn't want to come back here. I can attest to that because I've been out of my body on the Spirit, and I didn't want to come back here. It's a good place to be in the Spirit. And the Lord gave me that experience because, just to know that God's real. He's a real God, and I would have never stayed in this ministry if I didn't ever had those experiences. Because people are mean, and they'll tell you stuff, and they want to get you off, and they don't like you, even if Christians sometimes, they're inspired by demons and they try to attack you, even as a brother. And people don't even know they're being attacked by a demon. You wouldn't act like that if you're not attacked by a demon and attack another brother and sister and criticize them and bring them down. Even some of my own relatives talk about me and come against me because it's demonic. I understand this now. I understand that Pastor Ken, Pastor Steve, more than ever now, that's the demon spirits working in people. Try to discourage you. Get out of ministry. God didn't want me to come out of ministry. He that began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God's started a work in you. He's not finished with you yet. God has work for you guys. Amen? He didn't say, you're going to die at 43. No, you're going to live a long life. Begin to claim that. So, I cannot tell God knows such a man was caught up into the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how one was caught up into paradise. That's heaven, the third heaven. And I heard unspeakable words, which cannot be lawful for man to utter. In other words, he heard things and saw things he couldn't explain. Prophets saw things. They couldn't explain it in the Bible. Couldn't explain to us what they see and know. My own pastor, Pastor Rick, was caught up into heaven, went up to heaven. God spoke to him, told him the different things, how he should, what he's doing right now and across Canada. A friend of mine had the same experience. He died, and God brought him back. He said, I want you here. A pastor over in Ottawa. God brought him back to life. One of our favorite Rhema teachers, Keith Moore, he went up and caught up, was into heaven, went up to heaven and saw things and saw his dad there that he was, had a hard time that he died, was walking in heaven with his dad, and he came back to the world. Like, listen to me. Listen, God, this thing is real. Like, we're not We're not, you know, just hanging together here is a nice thing to do on Sunday morning. No, God wants us. He wants us to do something. There is something spectacular waiting for us. And let me just share these three things and we'll shut down. There's, you know, I've got so much to say about that because there's so much to do. I told the Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say tomorrow morning because there's so much to share. But he said, just go ahead and share. So I've done my best to share some things. I don't want to be like weird. You know, people always think you're weird already, right? They go, oh, the Spirit's in here, you know. No, he's already in you already. Brother Higgins said he purposed to do this. And earlier in his ministry, and he said he prayed 5 hours and 45 minutes in the Spirit. Prayed in tongues. He said, I didn't feel like doing it. I didn't want to do it. But I did it by faith. He said, after 5 hours and 45 minutes, I had a revelation from God. God began to talk to me in the Spirit. And he said, a revival is coming to America. 1947 to 1957, he said, there's a healing revival coming to America. In 1947 to 1958, there was a healing revival in America. Then he was praying about that. He had another experience that he said he prayed that there was another move of God coming. It came and went in the 70s, 60s and 70s. He said the next move of God is coming into the church, and people thought it was the full gospel churches. But it came into the denominational churches, which was the charismatic revival. And they wrote it down, and they, sure enough, there was a move of God in the charismatic. They called it the charismatic renewal in the church, the Catholic church. People, Catholics getting saved. Nuns and priests were getting born again. And there was speaking in tongues and all that stuff in the 70s. He said the Lord gave him that vision. Then he said again, another thing is going to happen. This was 1978. He said, I went out in the Spirit and I saw this. He said, another move is coming. A great move of God's coming. He said, another thing that's happened is that a collective move of all, a culmination of all the revivals before, the power of God is going to be, a culmination of the power of God is going to be released in the last days here. He said, and right now, what's happened? He says, there's going to be what they call a prophetic anointing that's being released right now. That started in 1978. Until now, right, that's that we're in it right now, of seeing and knowing, of seeing into the realm of the Spirit, and that we're going to see more and more things happening. So we have to get ready, people, for a coming of the revival, getting ourselves ready to see a move of God come to this church. Like, you don't have to, you know, get weird. I'm going to tell you very simply what to do, really. First of all, we need to start praying in the tongues more often, individually, and be more aware of that, and get into the Word of God and start studying the Word of God, and don't get weird either. Start talking about Revelation. You know, Pastor Higgins said, he said, my dad knew a lot about Revelation last days. He said, but he didn't preach it because it wasn't time to. And he said, more people these days spend more time on talking about what the devil's doing in this world. When we should spend, I heard Brother Higgins say this myself, that we need to spend more time on what Jesus is doing, what he has done for us. Yeah. People are going to get more blessed of us talking about what Jesus has done for them than anything else, than telling you about, oh, the devil's doing this. No, we don't have to spend any time doing that. But talk about what God's doing and what he's done in your life. And so we're going to share more and more about what God's done in our own lives. He says, here's what happened, he says. What happened to me? Some people started to criticize him, even pastors and other people. He said, I was having a healing meeting, revival meeting during that time. He said, I was laying hands on people. And some guy from who just lived just over nearby said that Brother Hagin is handling women's breasts in services. He said, I never did such a thing. I got my wife and other women to lay hands on women, and I didn't even touch them. He said, if that guy doesn't repent, next Sunday, he'll fall dead in this church. Or that one fellow, he died. There was two people that happened. One was a guy that's listed right across from his from the church area. And at the time he said that, he said next Sunday, he'll fall dead in his home. And he fell dead right in his front doorstep. It's like Ananias and Sapphira. People come against the people of God, things got, like it happened. That's a prophetic anointing. Like, you know, things are going to happen. Like, we shouldn't be afraid of it. I mean, those guys, Sapphira and what's his name, Sapphira and Ananias, they try to lie, you know, and try to do something financially which wasn't right for them. They could have did whatever they want with their money, but they lied to the Holy Ghost. The Bible said and fell dead. But things are going to happen in the realm of the Spirit. Like I'm saying to you, you know, I mean, I look at my own self and how I preach. I said, why would I want to listen to me? Honest to God, I look at my television program. I said, like, that's why would somebody listen to that? But people are doing it because it's the Spirit. I've heard people are watching. Now, you told me, right? A doctor's been watching me. A special business guy is watching. I had a senator from Ottawa watching, called me and was watching my program. They say, I'm doing a good job. I was just going to different places in the city. At Christmas time, people say, I'm watching your program. I'm driving yesterday. We went over to the Tiger store, our favorite store, and went over, I said, I tell my wife, we're going to stop here, get my coffee. Went around, get my coffee at the memorial, Tim's, and we got my coffee. I said, I need something to eat. I got a little. So I said, give me a large soap. So anyway, they gave me a large soap. So I went and got, they gave me a small soup and half a, you know, a donut, not a donut, like a bun. So the guy was so disappointed. I was looking forward to this nice, large bun. And my wife went in there, and I said, I was eating that, and I said, why should I pay for this and not get the rest of the half of the bun? I want a big, I went back there, and I said, I told my wife, I'll just be right back. So I went back. I'm in line. I said, I'll have this and that. You guys got my message thing wrong. And they were just getting mad at me. I'm laughing, you know. I paid for something. I wanted, you know. I wasn't being mean. I was smiling. I said, you know, you guys got my message, my order wrong. I said, we didn't get the order wrong. What's wrong with you? And I'm talking to the spirits on the intercom, and somebody comes by inside there and said, hey, that's Roma Fisher. I thought, oh, they're gonna treat me real nice now. But they wouldn't give me my soup. They said, you're gonna have free coffee. I said, oh, they know me. They're gonna give me. No, they wouldn't treat me. I'm going to go back to today and talk to them. Let's go ahead and stand up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord. I mean, can you pray in the Spirit for a couple of minutes, maybe 30 seconds, pray in the Spirit? Oh, makashiti limi. Come on. Samba kaladishi, mananakoshi. Bible said, I will pray in the Spirit. I'll pray in English. Oya makasite, limida makasatolomo. In these last days, malamakoso, malariki, many shall see. Somoro kosha, ninima karadishi, nirima, in their spiritual realm. Aradibishi, nananakasite, limida bokoso, tokolomaman. Dekiri shite manamakasan, deki shite. Orabako shite limi. Samakashite emiso, nomokulima. Eki shite limi, nanamakasa. Eki shiminimoso, mokurovo shite minakra. Deki shite minimana nosum. Koso makaradeshi, nirigi manarasati basa. Koto shindi me nanama nerekesi dakadasati. Nono moko marale shite nemeke shite. Oh, yes, oh, maki, laramaka nedeshi, makadasi. Nono mo shindi me si mama kalada nidibishi. Oh, no mo shindi manana mose eke shinde ba. Nekire shinde me manana mosu no kushi manada. Kese mano, molo boshi, nanama, kere me noso, makadeshi de. Habaramo, Noribisi, Nakada Sitismo, Hallelujah, Mahalabaka Satalidi, Oribisite, Makadas, Nika, Oribisi, Darabakos, Namanadisi, Tikibam, Sandaka Sititi, Midibikis, Nonamon, Sorobako, Ne, Manas, Sima. She did be here speaking an unknown tongue. Speaking not unto men, but unto God, albeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. So, Doboko, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with understanding. O ye nibi, son nakadasa deshi, naman nareshi de, manan nanashi de. So, albeit the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, shamakoshin de de bakara, helps our infirmities. Namanoshi de kiris. He's able to say things that we're not able to say. Help things to come in line with the Word of God, the will of God, to come into manifestation. As you pray in the Spirit, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, as you labor in the realm and begin to pray in the Spirit, things begin to change in the spiritual realm. As you pray in the will of God, the purposes of God, the plan of God to come into manifestation in your own personal life, in your families, in your businesses, and in your workplace, in your own personal lives. Things will happen as you pray in the Spirit. Things begin to come in line as God begins to operate through your life. God needs an outlet, and you're the outlet that will bring in the will and plan of God as you pray in the Spirit, as you pray in tongues. God will use you as your mouthpiece as you bring forth the word that lives, the word that reigns in your life. And you shall reign in life as you begin to speak in the Holy Ghost, as you speak in understanding. You begin to reign over your circumstances. Reign over problems that have been hampering you, that's been stopping you, that's been trying to dissuade you to move back. But as you pray in the Spirit, you'll become forcefully used by God in the way that's so dynamic that people will begin to say, what is this? What is that person doing? That's unreal what they've been through and how they've achieved what they've been achieving. But the Lord says, if you pray in the Spirit, you're going to begin to see that you'll go from glory to glory, and you'll move in strides that you cannot understand with your own mind. But it's the Spirit of God moving in your life as you pray in the Holy Ghost, as you pray in tongues. So begin to pray in tongues regularly. Begin to pray in the nighttime, as you're alone in your bed, as you're walking the street, as you're driving your car, as you're working in your home, begin to pray in the Spirit. Lift up your heart just a few seconds, just a few moments at a time. It'll be a world of difference. It'll change things. It'll move out circumstances. All the things that bother you will begin to flee away like a bird would fly away. But as you begin to pray, oh yes, darkness shall be removed from you. Evil plans against you shall be diverted and dismissed and be broken into pieces, because the anointing of God will break the yoke of bondage. And you shall see clearly, and you shall see as though you had clear vision. 2020, more than you had ever, never known. Scales of darkness will move from your eyes, but clear understanding will come forth, and you'll have confidence and peace, and live in peace, and live in that shelter of the Most High God. Nothing shall disturb you, not even death itself. Nothing shall disturb you. Not even lack will disturb you, because you said, he that dwells in the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff to comfort me. Thou prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointed my head with oil. A cup runs over. Surely good and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You shall see that in these days. Psalm 23 shall be a point of reference for you in your mind in this church. To see Psalm 23 begin to manifest in this church and throughout all the lives of those that you love, as you begin to pray and believe and see that it is I that give long life and give long, healthy lives. Hallelujah. Let's lift up our hands and worship God. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you for the utterance and the tongues, interpretation of tongues, manifestation of the Spirit of God manifesting His power, manifesting His glory. We give You praise, Lord God. We thank You for the power of God in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Did anybody get something out of that, the word of the Lord? I tell you, sometimes you can receive, some people can receive more, because, you know, the more you can receive, the better it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Healings happen. Miracles happen. Signs and wonders. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, God bless you. Good. We're going to dismiss you, I think, by divine numbers. By the spiritual realm, you should know by now. God bless you if you've been watching somewhere around the world. God bless you. You know, you can get a hold of Jesus by calling on the name of the Lord. If you've never been saved, say, Jesus, I want to be born again. I want to come into, become a child of God. Just say, I believe You're the Son of God, and I want to ask You to forgive my sins. I give You my life. I turn to You. I believe with all my heart that You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, and I want to be one of Yours. And so I yield my life to You and give You my life in Jesus' name. And if you've been away from God, all you have to say, Lord, just forgive me. Thank You for 1 John 1:9. I confess my sins and cleanse me from all my sins. And you begin to walk with Him again. God bless you. Get close to God. Pray in the Spirit and find some good friends who love Jesus even more than you. And you'll find yourself going to another dimension. God bless you.